Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Knowing Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio and our series Before the Rapture. As I've mentioned in the past few weeks, I thought we'd get into end times, and I decided that I want to proceed on the assumption that we are in the end times and quickly moving towards the rapture and tribulation. So I want to talk a bit about what we need to do before Jesus comes for us. Essentially, how to develop the tools we need as we move towards the tribulation period. So that's what this whole series Before the Rapture is about. So without further ado, let's get into today's broadcast. We've been focusing in this series on the need to repent and discussed what the word and act of repenting really means as a turning away from sin so we don't get caught in the sin and ask forgiveness, then sin again and ask forgiveness again and sin again and ask forgiveness again cycle. As Jesus told the woman caught in adultery in John 8:11, Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more." Essentially, Jesus said, turn away from sin, repent. Turn away from sin and sin no more once you have turned away. And we talked about putting your house, well, essentially your heart, in order to make certain that you're right with God so that you can walk in his righteousness to ensure that you are rapture ready. And last week, we actually questioned whether or not you're taking God for granted or whether you were indeed focused on him, praising and worshiping him, giving him the glory despite the troubles of this world and in your life, and praying that you are rapture ready to assure that you are brought up as the bride in the bride by the bridegroom to the wedding feast that awaits, which brings us to our show today. Here comes the bride. We're all familiar with this song. It typically opens with several chords on an organ to get everyone's attention and to signal that the witnesses are to stand, and then the song itself, Here Comes the Bride, begins while the bride walks down the aisle to greet her groom. What I want to talk about today, though, is not the song that we're familiar with. It actually builds on taking God for granted that we spoke of last week, because there's probably a billion or more people who believe they're going to be raptured just because they've stated they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are probably close to that same billion or more people who believe they're going to be raptured because they attend a church. As, of course, Scripture says, Jesus will rapture his church. Well, isn't that what they're attending? But what church is it that Jesus is going to rapture? Is it the local Methodist church down the road? Is it the Calvary Chapel in the next city? Do you have to be a Catholic or belong to a specific denomination and attend that church? No. During the rapture, Jesus will take up, that's essentially what rapture means, to the heavenly. Jesus will take up his church, and it is his church that Scripture refers to, and throughout the both the Old and New Testament, this is the case, while also making reference to the wedding feast, to the bride, to the bridegroom coming for his bride. And, of course, we know this from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27. And, of course, Revelation 19:7-9, 21:1-2, they all talk about his church being united with the bridegroom in the official wedding ceremony to eternally unite Christ and his bride. So let's read Revelation chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. And to me, this is the real music. Here's the real song, Here Comes the Bride. Anyway, the New King James Version reads, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." But the question before us is today is, who is his church? In other words, who is his bride? So I want to talk a little about that, and then I want to talk about what it means to be a bride as we refer to the collective bride of Christ, and then ask some questions that you need to answer to truly examine whether or not you're ready for the wedding feast, or the wedding, and more importantly, ready for the wedding feast. The bride of Christ is the true church, according to an article on Rapture Ready. She will be characterized by her preoccupation with the promised appearing of the bridegroom. In other words, the promised appearing of Jesus Christ. She'll exhibit faithfulness in her daily living because her goal is to be beautiful for her bridegroom, having no spot or blemish. She will be easily recognized by her heart of brokenness and gratitude, as well as her continual thanksgiving and praise for her groom, who chose her in her total unworthiness, and who lowered himself and suffered humiliation and an agonizing death to make her his own. She will refuse to forget and does not take her salvation lightly. She will also be characterized by her single-mindedness. She will always be undistracted, focused on the affairs of the kingdom posture, preparing, working, waiting, and watching for the glorious day when her groom comes to take her to the place he has prepared for her, just as he promised. Now, I want to talk a little about some misconceptions. To me, the biggest misconception by far is that just because you believe in Jesus Christ, that you gave your heart to him once, that you consider yourself saved, that you're going to be raptured. Well, see, it's not that simple. And that's why I'm focusing on being rapture-ready in our season on the air these days and weeks and months to come. There's a great article by Don Koenig from a website called The Prophecy Years, and it was actually dated February 3rd, 2017, more than 4 years ago, when the death toll from COVID and viruses to come, as well as the unprecedented loss of life from weather-related events have taken place. So anyway, through a series of very simple assumptions on the number of Christians worldwide, again, this is based on population in 2017, and narrowing it down to those who are most like the Philadelphia church, which Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 10 says will be kept out of the great tribulation because she kept the Lord's doctrine, did not deny his name, and kept the word of the Lord's return for his church. Koenig goes on to identify various denominations with the other six church types mentioned in Revelation and goes through other statistical assumptions, essentially saying only 2.5% of the people on earth will be raptured, which to him essentially amounted to only 200 million people worldwide being raptured before the tribulation. And that's a mighty small number. But the key to Koenig's discussion focuses on the Philadelphia church, which you can actually hear from many other preachers and teachers of scripture, prophecy, and end times, especially now, as we're very quickly escalating towards the tribulation period. Anyway, but from scripture and history, what do we know about the Philadelphia church? And this is important, so I want to make sure I mention this, even though it's a little deeper than I wanted to go into on this originally. Philadelphia was a city in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, on the Imperial Post Road, and that was an important trade route. So it's real important that you realize the positioning of where Philadelphia was, because the Revelation chapter we're talking about with the Philadelphia church essentially says a message was to be sent from the Lord Jesus Christ through an angel or a messenger to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Jesus instructed John to write, and this is the key of what we're looking for here today, that Jesus affirms Philadelphia church's positive actions. He says in Revelation 8, chapter 3, verse 8, I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Now, you have to understand, the Church of Philadelphia was weak in a lot of respects, yet they remained faithful in the face of trial. Again, remember their positioning on the trade route. So because of this, the Lord promised them an open door of blessing. And Jesus encourages the Philadelphian believers regarding his future coming. He says, since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. That was Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Essentially, the church's faithful endurance serves as a blessing. Jesus is going to take them to be with him before the coming tribulation. And we know this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. He also exhorts them to remain faithful, like the bride waiting for her bridegroom, because this would lead to rewards in the afterlife. The fact that the Philadelphians are promised to be preserved from the time of the tribulation, actually before the tribulation, corresponds with the pre-tribulational view of the rapture. So if the fine linen the bride is dressed in is considered the righteous act of the saints, and we've already read what other parallels, attributes Jesus was drawing on when he spoke to his disciples about brides, weddings, which we discussed a few moments ago from the article from Rapture Ready. Let me ask you, do you consider yourself a member, whether literally from a church that you attend, that's brick and mortar or online, or the church that is in your heart, is it consistent with the Philadelphia church? Is that where you belong? How can you ensure that you are rapture ready as one of the possible only 200 million as a member of his church, the Bride of Christ? So as I did in our last broadcast on Taking God for Granted, I want you to look once again at the answers that you gave and compare those to the questions. And especially when I asked last week, how different is it now when you first came to Christ? And you remember that joy. Remember the tears of happiness. Remember feeling that you were born again. Born again with him as your Savior, with the Holy Spirit in your heart. What happened between then and now? Was there any change? How consistent are the answers to those questions with being a member of the Philadelphia Church? So now, let's ask today's questions. And this is similar to what I just mentioned. I want you to review what you know about the Philadelphia Church. Go and do some research. You know, pause the broadcast or do it afterwards. But do some research on the Philadelphia Church. We're going to talk about that next week. And I want you to honestly compare your thoughts and beliefs to those that Scripture tells us are those of the Philadelphia Church. Number two, review what you've heard here. What do you know about the attributes of the Bride of Christ from the analogy of a bride? And do your research as well and see how well you do or do not conform. And then try and establish, obviously, steps to help you conform to that. And most importantly, pray for Jesus to open your eyes and your heart to those areas he may need to bring to your mind that may be like areas of your life where you're really not as strong and sin-free as you may believe that you are. And I apologize for my dog barking in the background. If any of this is ringing a bell for y'all, I truly encourage you to ask for his help in turning away from what it is you're dealing with. And as with all things, whether it be sin and the need to repent, or asking for Jesus to help bring to your attention any areas that may be hidden to you or that you may have forgotten about, so that you can put that behind you and not let that hinder you in the eyes of our Lord, so that you truly are part of the remnant who are called the Bride of Christ. I always recommend you pray and ask for his help. If you need any additional assistance in this area, please feel free to contact me at info@knowingchrist.com, and I'll be happy to help you in absolutely any way that I can in this. And so this brings us to the end of our show. For more information or to contact us, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. I encourage you to visit our Facebook page and like us in order to stay abreast of our announcements. I also have a page on MeWe under the same name, Knowing Christ Ministries. I also encourage you to follow us here on Blog Talk Radio so that you're notified of each new broadcast as well. Blog Talk has a full archive of our shows of 10 years now, so I encourage you to take the time to review the listing, and if a title or series looks like something the Lord's leading you to at any given time, please listen. So until next time, this is Dr. Danielle West with one of my dogs barking throughout this in the background, reminding you it's not what you know, but who you know for Knowing Christ Ministries. I wish you a very blessed day, and I thank you for listening. And make sure you tune in next week, and we're going to talk about the Philadelphia Church.